ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. Verse number 8, 9, 10. I'll just read the translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhasmi sashishuryo pranava sarva vedeshu shabdake paurusham rishu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Text 9. Punyaganda prithivyam cha tejas chasmi vibhavasu jivanam sarvabhuteshu tapaschasmi tapasvishu. I am the original fragrance of the earth, and I am the heat in fire. I am the life of all that lives, and I am the penance of all ascetics. Text 10. Bijam mam sarvabhutanam vidyaparta sanatanam buddhir buddhi matamasmi tejas tejasvinanamham. O son of Pritha, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men. So I'll read the purport of the 8th verse. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I'll read the verse again. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and the ability in man. This verse explains how the Lord is all pervasive by His diverse material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Lord can be preliminarily perceived by His different energies, and in this way He is realized impersonally. As the demigod in the sun is a person and is perceived by His all-pervading energy, the sunshine, so the Lord, although in His eternal abode, is perceived by His all-pervading diffusive energies. The taste of water is the active principle of water. No one likes to drink sea water because the pure taste of water is mixed with salt. Attraction for water depends on the purity of taste. And this pure taste is one of the energies of the Lord. The impersonalist perceives the presence of the Lord in water by its taste, and the personalist also glorifies the Lord for His kindly supplying tasty water to quench man's thirst. That is the way of perceiving the Supreme. Practically speaking, there is no conflict between personalism and impersonalism. One who knows God knows that the impersonal conception and personal conception are simultaneously present in everything, and that there is no contradiction. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya established His sublime doctrine, Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference. The light of the sun and moon is also originally emanating from the Brahma Jyoti, which is the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. And Pranava, or the Omkar transcendental sound, in the beginning of every Vedic hymn, addresses the Supreme Lord. Because the impersonalists are very much afraid of addressing the Supreme Lord Krishna by His innumerable names, they prefer to vibrate the transcendental sound Omkara. But they do not realize that Omkara is the sound representation of Krishna. The jurisdiction of Krishna consciousness extends everywhere, and one who knows Krishna consciousness is blessed. Those who do not know Krishna are in illusion, and so knowledge of Krishna is liberation, and ignorance of Him is bondage. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam
Sapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guruho shri yuta padakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamsha shri rupam sagrajatam sagadaragunatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakhanvitamsha he krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute tapta kanchana gaurangi shri radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu sute devi pranamami hari priye vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swami niti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarine jaya shri krishna chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So our topic for discussion today is how to remain Krishna conscious. So the topic is how to always remain Krishna conscious, being able to see Krishna or Krishna's hand in everything. So for those of us who have come to Krishna consciousness by various means, we have come here. We came here because somebody, you know, dragged us to the temple. Somebody gave us a book and we somehow accidentally opened it and read it. Somebody offered us some very nice prasad. Someone told us that there's a festival here where they get free prasad, very nice food, you know, full meal. That's why we came. We came for various reasons. And after coming here, we came to the temple, we came in the association of devotees. And over here, we kind of got hooked. Atak gaye, kya karein? We got stuck here and we, you know, developed loving relationships with Vaishnavas. We started, suddenly we found there's a bead bag in our hands and we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You know, we are reading books. Those books which somebody distributed us, suddenly we are distributing those books. We are on the street. What am I doing here? I am distributing books. So we came to Krishna consciousness. We got established in the association of devotees. We started doing some services. And, you know, slowly but surely, we have got, you know, some attachment, some asakti towards the association of devotees, towards the Supreme Lord. We don't have real love for Krishna. We don't have too much love for devotees. We don't have too much love for chanting. We don't have too much love for reading. We don't have love for anything. But there is some attraction. There is some rasa. There is something that keeps us going in Krishna consciousness, which is why so many of us are sitting here on a Sunday afternoon, on a hot Sunday afternoon, you know, and listening to Krishna Katha. So we have come to Krishna consciousness. Now the question is, after coming to Krishna consciousness, how to remain Krishna conscious? You know, what is the meaning of being conscious of Krishna? You know, at all times, now suddenly if you just catch a random person in this crowd and ask them, what are you thinking of right now? It is quite likely he's not thinking about what I'm speaking. Quite likely, more than likely, you know, any random person you catch, he'll be thinking about something else. Like, yeah, yaar, re, matlab, you know, I don't know when it'll get over. You know, are, mera ghar pe itna, I have to pay so many bills. Are, my children don't listen to me. Are, my parents are troubling me. Various, you know, you're thinking of so many anxieties. Even though we are sitting in a temple with the Supreme Lord standing there, this is not a murti, this is not stone, this is the Supreme Lord Krishna with his consort Srimati Radharani, Sri Nitai Gaur Chandra, Sri Gopalji, standing there sakshat. They are there, waiting for us to turn our gaze towards them and surrender our lives. They are standing there. Okay? Then there is, you know, so many Vaishnavas sitting here, so much going on, you know, and in a fairly comfortable environment, air conditioned, you know, nicely sitting. In such an environment also, we find it a challenge to be Krishna conscious, to be conscious of Krishna, to be thinking of Krishna at every moment, right? But Krishna wants us to think of Him. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te prati jane priyosi me. If you think of me, become my devotee, offer your obeisances to me, you will come to me without fail. He says this in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, if Krishna wants us to be Krishna conscious, He wants us to be thinking about Him, and He wants us to be, you know, in that consciousness. All the acharyas are saying the same thing, that we need to be Krishna conscious. Then it, you know, it certainly deserves some thought about what we need to do to become Krishna conscious and to stay Krishna conscious. Not that we became Krishna conscious in a, you know, like a flash, you know, suddenly we became very Krishna conscious and then after some time it peters out, you know. It's like a ball which is thrown in the air, after some time it comes down. You know, it should not happen to us like that. We should be able to sustain our Krishna consciousness. So, what can we do to be conscious of Krishna at all times? You know, being able to see Krishna's hand in everything. So that is what we will try to discuss today. And we'll also discuss why it is necessary, why we need to be Krishna conscious at all times, and how we can do it, what is the best way we can do it. So, this verse that we read, you may be wondering, what is the connection? Kya connection hai with what topic is? You know, like 7.8 to 7.10, knowledge of the absolute. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras, I am the sound in ether and ability in man. I am the original fragrance of the earth, and I am the heat in fire. I am the life of all that lives, and I am the penances of all ascetics. O son of Pritha, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent and the prowess of all powerful men. There are a couple of more verses also, but I will not get into that. So in this section of the Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute, Krishna actually gives us information about Himself. He is giving information about Himself. So few verses before this, He has already established that, you know, He is the source of all the material elements. You know, the five material elements, five gross and three subtle material elements. You know, He is the source of those. And then in the subsequent verses, which is what we read today, first He has said that earth, water, fire, air and ether. Then mind, intelligence and false ego. These eight elements. Okay, the first five, earth, water, air, earth, water, air, fire and ether. These are the gross elements, and the three subtle elements are mind, intelligence and false ego. So he says these are coming from me. They are my separated material energy, but they are coming from me. So he is the source of the raw material that goes into making this entire creation. Right? Anything in this material world, whatever you may see, whichever direction you look, whatever you may see, he is the source of that. You know, whatever is going into making that. You may see certain, you know, certain elements in material nature which are more matter, less water, less fire, less ether. You may see certain elements which are more water, less, you know, matter. You may see different combinations, but the raw materials are the same. Same raw materials, and he is the source of these raw materials. So everything is emanating from him. And then, not only that, he didn't just say that I am the raw material. He says even the essence of whatever is there in this material world, whatever we see, whatever that is attractive, whatever that is, you know, great, anything that is wonderful in this material world, he is saying he is also the essence of that. He is the essence of everything. So, you know, in the 12th verse, if you see, of this 7th chapter, he says, in one sense, okay, I'll just read it. He says, in one sense, I am everything. A scary thought, okay. So, you know, he says, know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. So, everything is emanating from Krishna. Everything that we see in the material world is coming from his material energy. So, in one sense, it is impossible for one who has this knowledge. That's why if you see in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, one who has this knowledge that everything in this material nature which we are able to see or not see is emanating from Krishna. And we can understand the essence by the purports of the acharyas. Like for example, he says, rasoham apsu kaunteya. Rasa. This apsu means water. And he says, I am the taste in water. Now, in all of our science notebooks and textbooks which we have studied since our childhood, what do we say? Water is a tasteless item. It is a colorless item. Pure water is tasteless, colorless, whatever else. Okay? But how difficult is it for us to experience the taste of water? That's why Prabhupada gives a nice example of sea water. If you take sea water, can you drink sea water? They say, right? When you are marooned in a ship somewhere in the ocean, water, water all around, but not a drop to drink. You can't drink sea water. No matter, you know, actually you can survive, they say you can survive up to 10-12 days without food, but without water you cannot survive more than a day and a half, something like that. I don't know the exact maths, but whatever it is, you can't survive without water. Now even if you have sea water, billions and trillions of tons of sea water all around you, take it and put it in your mouth, you cannot even swallow it, so salty. But you take away the salt from that water, that water, that sensation that you get of your thirst being quenched is the taste of Krishna. That is the rasa that Krishna is speaking about. The taste of water is that sensation which you get, which no other drink in this world can quench. Right? I mean, if you are thirsty, you know, like the advertising industry, it tells when you are thirsty, go grab a Pepsi, go grab a Coke. You know, that will quench your thirst. But generally speaking, when you are really thirsty, if you drink a cold drink, it makes you, for a second it satiates you, it satisfies you, because it just kind of, you know, extinguishes everything on any sensation on your tongue. It just smashes everything out because of the heavy, you know, bubbles and everything that is there. The tongue just gets completely obliterated. But then after that, 5 minutes later, you again feel thirsty. And then when you drink water, nice cool water, you know, you drink little cool, you know, water also is so wonderful. You drink hot water, it gives you a different sensation. You drink plain water, it gives you a different sensation. You drink cold water, it gives you a different sensation. Drink something between plain and cold. Oh, this is like perfect, right? You drink that water, it quenches your thirst. That ability of water to quench your thirst is Krishna. If you look at it, we drink water every day. I'll be drinking water many times during this. Unfortunately, you won't have that facility. But, you know, that simple act of drinking water, if we can help, you know, if we can remember what we have heard here, that drink of water, when we feel that satiation when we drink the water, that feeling can remind us of Krishna. You know? Then he says, I am the fragrance of the earth. What is the fragrance of the earth? Anyone has experienced what is the fragrance of the earth? When do we experience the fragrance of the earth? When the first rain happens. When the first rain happens, no one needs to explain this. Right? It doesn't need an explanation. But just that sensation, that smell that comes when the first rain falls and the earth lets out its fragrance, you know, in ecstasy probably, you know, that, oh, the rains have come, so nice. That smell, isn't it wonderful? I don't know, I mean, any amount of times you smell it, you feel so exhilarated. You feel so happy just to get that unique smell. It's not some very exotic, it's not like some, you know, expensive Armani perfume or something like that. No, it is just ordinary earth lying all over the place and water mixing, and suddenly a fragrance comes out. That fragrance is Krishna. And this fragrance of the earth is not an ordinary thing. Don't take it as so cheap, you know, okay, once in a year it comes, okay, big deal, what after that? Everything that we eat contains the fragrance of that earth. Think about it. You know, it is the same earth, it is the same water, it is the same sun. Okay? Same earth, same water, same sun. You put a rose, you know, twig in it, rose flowers come out. And you put a neem plant in it, a neem, you know, comes out, the neem leaves come out. Now, you know, you may have certain flowers which are very beautiful to see. Like, you know, the gonde ka phool, they say. Gonda bolte hai? Kya bolte hai? Gonde ka phool jo hota hai. It looks nice. You smell it? Doesn't smell nice. But it looks very beautiful. Whereas you take the rose, it smells nice. You take a jasmine flower, it smells even nice. Now, the rose and the jasmine, if you just do a comparison, okay, between the rose and the jasmine flower, are the fragrances the same? They are as different as chalk and cheese. Completely different. Both the fragrances are completely different. However, ingredients are the same. No difference in ingredients. It is the same earth. You know, you may plant them beside each other. It's not that there's a rose plant growing here. So, you know, within 6 inches, so ye jasmine plant will also smell like the rose plant. No. It will taste, it will smell different. The fruits that we eat, the mango, okay, the mango, which is so sweet. Now, mango season has started, you know, some people enjoy mangoes. Today morning, Govind Prabhu was speaking about mangoes, you know. So, mango season has started, we are eating mangoes. Where is this mango coming from? Where is the taste for that mango coming from? You know, if you cut a mango, which is not yet ripe, what is the taste of that mango? It is sour like anything. Right? Only some people enjoy sour. Jinko khatta khana achha lagta hai, wo they enjoy curry. Right? But otherwise, you can't eat it as a fruit. You know, you have to put some salt, some masala, only then you can eat it. You can't eat it just like that. But that same curry undergoes a transformation within another 1 month because of the sun, because of the earth, and it becomes a juicy, sweet, succulent mango. You know? So where is that taste coming from? Where is that fragrance coming from? It is coming from the earth. The same earth that is creating a neem You know, neem tree, which is creating a karele ka tree, is also creating a mango tree. The same earth is providing the raw materials for everyone. So that fragrance, that taste that we receive in whatever we are eating, is the fragrance of the earth. And that fragrance is Krishna. So whenever we eat something that is delicious, we should understand this is coming from Krishna. Even if you are eating something like karela, you know, we should understand this taste is also coming from the Lord. The ability in man, he says, the ability in man is coming from Krishna. Now the ability for us to hear what is being spoken at this moment is coming from Krishna. He says, I am the sound in ether. You know, Radha Gopinath Prabhu had given this analogy, wonderful analogy. Not analogy, observation, you know, because he's an expert in that area. He had spoken about how sound is transmitted through the ether. So if you ask a question to somebody, okay, who is the Prime Minister of, answer immediately, who is the Prime Minister of India? Very, very slow. I think most of you are asleep. You know, but anyway, still the answer started murmuring in within a second, right? So he was explaining what is the process that happens here, right? What happens? In the sense that the moment somebody speaks, you know, I ask the question. The question, how did it come? I thought of asking this question. Then my brain instructed my tongue to vibrate, flap in a particular way, and the vocal cords to vibrate in a particular way, so that this question gets vibrated and comes out. That got transmitted into this through electrical energy. It came to the speaker. From the speaker, it vibrated through the ether into your ears. In your ears, that sound vibration hit against your eardrum, got created into some sort of an electrical impulse, which went up to your brain. In the brain, it was converted into that this is the question that is being asked. Who is the Prime Minister of India? Then the brain for a moment thought, stupid question, why is he asking this question in this satsang over here? Kyun ye pooch raha hai? Chalo, theek hai, bol dete hai, Narendra Modi, you know. And then the brain instructed, okay, now you go, your tongue should vibrate in a particular manner, don't say it very loudly, you know, because sab dekh rahe hai, pata nahi kya hoga. So very softly, you know, you murmured the answer, your tongue and your vocal cords vibrated. Then the sound came through the ether again, hit my ears, and I heard. And then I gave all this bhashan about how you all responded. All this happened in 1 second. All this complex engineering has happened in 1 second. Who did this complex engineering? How did it come about? By chance. Nothing happens by chance. I mean, most of you have this experience, I'm sure. By chance, only things go bad, and nothing goes good by chance. So, all this complex engineering is happening because of Krishna. He is the sound in ether. He is the ability in man to hear, to speak, to understand question, retrieve answer from some part of the brain and throw it back. He is that ability in man. So, in one sense, if you look at it, anything that you do, anything that you eat, anything that you drink, the ability to fall asleep also is coming from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Right? So, for us to be Krishna conscious is really not an effort if we want. It is an effort to not be Krishna conscious. It takes effort to not be Krishna conscious when you have heard this, when we are so fortunate that we are here because of the purports of Srila Prabhupada, because of the Bhagavad Gita. We have all this information. It's all there. No big deal. You know, we just need to hear. By hearing, we can be more Krishna conscious. Now the question still remains, why? Okay, you know, it's possible to remain Krishna conscious. It's difficult to not be Krishna conscious. But why? Why must I be Krishna conscious? So of course, we have heard in various ways that in the Bhagavad Gita, in 8th chapter 8.5, Krishna says, antakale cha maam eva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samad bhavam yati asti na atra sanshaya. So he says, whoever at the time of death remembers me alone, he comes back to me. Of this there is no doubt. Meaning, if we are able to be Krishna conscious, remember Krishna at the time of death, then we will be able to get out of this miserable material world and go back to Godhead. Get liberated from the cycle, like, you know, Prabhupada mentions in the purport here. This knowledge of Krishna consciousness can liberate us from the material world. We can actually get out. Don't have to be here. Don't have to make permanent residence over here. You can get out. No challenge. Easily done. All you need to do is remember Krishna at the time of death. Now for most people who are hearing this, some people may have heard this hundreds of times before, you know, some of us. And some of us are hearing it maybe first, second time. You know, and we may think, what's really the big deal in remembering Krishna at the last moment? But it's not that easy. It's not so easy to be Krishna conscious at the last moment. Because at the time of death, there's so much discomfort. There is so much, trauma that you go through at the time of death. So for one to remember Krishna is very difficult. You know, at the time of death, for example, we say that, if, for example, I was to, in an accident, okay? Or let's not get to the accident first. Let's say, while I'm sitting here, you know, I'm referring to the notes that I have on this iPad. And given my forgetful nature, after the lecture is over, I walk out. You know, I go for prasad, because I'm also hungry. Quickly go for prasad. And I leave this here. And then when I come back, I forgot my iPad. I come back, it's not here. And nobody is telling me where it is. What will be my feeling? Anybody? It'll be miserable, right? Arey, lecture, Bhagwan ke liye seva kiya, mera iPad chala gaya. You know, what is this? You know, so you'll feel so bad. You'll feel so painful. If you lose a watch, how do you feel? You lose mobile phone. Mobile phones is very common nowadays, right? You know, people lose mobile phones all the time. They keep getting stolen. I don't know what happens to those mobile phones because such, you know, continuously people either buy new mobile phones and give away the old ones or it just gets lost. When you lose a mobile phone which you have just paid for, abhi paisa de ke liya hai, how do you feel? You feel miserable. Arey, nice phone. You know, I saved money and I bought it. It's gone. What if you lost a finger in an accident? Unfortunately, you know, just lose a finger. You see that finger lying there. There's nothing you can do. It's like, it's gone. It's gone forever. Nothing I can do now. You know, imagine if you lost a hand. Imagine if you lost a leg. Imagine if you lost an eye, lost a ear. We take so many things for granted. We take our legs for granted, which take us, you know, help us to walk. You know, I can no longer sit cross-legged here. You would have noticed I'm sitting on a chair. Because it's difficult for me to sit cross-legged now. Took it for granted last 20 years. Can't anymore. Right? Because you take things for granted. But when it's taken away, then you realize, oh my God, it's gone. So, imagine if you lose a brother, a mother, a father, a dear friend, a neighbor, whoever, someone whom you are close to, that person suddenly passes away. How much pain you'll feel? Imagine if all the bank balance you have built over, 25 years is put in XYZ bank and that bank crashes, management lapata. How much pain? Devotees, will hopefully not feel so much pain, but really speaking, kahin na kahin to dard hoga. Right? Oh my God, my life savings gone. Krishna, what did you do to me? You know? So, imagine at one moment, if any of these one incidents can cause pain, just thinking about losing a hand is painful. Imagine in one go, in one painful moment, everything that you hold dear to you, your hands, your fingers, your eyes, your ears, your whole body, your brother, sister, mother, father, friend, children, grandchildren, your house, your car, your bank balance, everything taken away in one go. One go, one snap of a finger, it's all gone. How painful. Not easy. At that time for one to suddenly say, remember, oh, antakale cha mam eva, smaran muktva kalevaram. Not so easy. It's very difficult to remember Krishna at the last moment of your life when all these thoughts are going through your mind. There's a story of, there was a person, there was a gentleman, who was a shopkeeper और अकेले से उसने मतलब फैमिली को खड़ा किया था, यू नो, एक ही दुकान था एंड वो दुकान में वो अपना बिजनेस चलाता था, एंड यू नो लॉट ऑफ फैमिली मेंबर्स, एंड यू नो ही हैड अ वाइफ, ही हैड चिल्ड्रेन, देन ही हैड अ ब्रदर, ब्रदर्स चिल्ड्रेन एंड सो ऑन सो फोर्थ. ऐसे करते करते फॉर मेनी इयर्स ही वाज रनिंग द शॉप, ही वाज रनिंग द शो, बेसिकली पूरा फैमिली वो चला रहा. And at one point of time, you know, inevitably death approached, and you know, he was on his deathbed. As he became very old, his eyesight became weak, his hearing became weak, he was bedridden, he couldn't do anything, you know. So he was lying on his bed and he was about to die. It's just, I mean, it was very clear that he's about to leave his body any moment now. So he said, "Sunti ho?" So, you know, wife said, "Haan haan, main yahin pe hoon." "Acha, mera beta kahan hai?" बोलता है, मैं भी यहीं पे हूं पापा. मेरा भाई कहां है? मैं भी यहीं पे हूं भाई साहब. आपके बच्चे कहां हैं? वो भी इधर ही हैं, सब इधर ही हैं. अरे सब इधर ही है तो दुकान कौन चला रहा है? राइट. सो हिज कॉन्शियसनेस इवन एट द टाइम दे आर ऑल देयर, यू नो, की लेट सपोर्ट हिम इन हिज फाइनल फ्यू मोमेंट्स, यू नो, एंड लेट हिम रिमेंबर कृष्णा, समथिंग लाइक दैट. बट हिज कॉन्शियसनेस इज सब लोग यहीं पे तो दुकान कौन चला रहा है? You know, because all his life's energy has gone into just simply running that shop. His whole consciousness is filled with thoughts of the shop. Is it making profit? Is somebody there? Customer aake sab chura ke leke gaya, to kya hoga? Bewakoofo, jao niche. You know, so the consciousness is filled at the time of death also with the thoughts that we are filled with all our lifetime. So if we want to be conscious of Krishna at the time of death, so that we can be liberated from the cycle of birth and death, we need to be Krishna conscious now, not tomorrow, not day after tomorrow, now. So in this section, we need to, you know, Krishna is giving us some hints how to remember him. We'll talk a little bit more. And why is it important? Because, you know, the example is given that we need to keep practicing Krishna consciousness so that even at the last moment we are able to remember. You know, like the army person. The army person, you know, if of course, that is why probably they keep everything confined. You know, you can never enter the army barracks, you know, during non-war situation. For you to enter the army barracks and see what they are doing is very rare. You can't get to see so easily. It's all cut off. Civilians and non-civilians. You know, they are like, they see others as civilians and we are like the army. Now in the army, if an ordinary person goes and sees the army routine daily basis, you must be wondering, karte kya yaar, pura saal kya karte hai? You know, when war is there, tab theek hai. But pura saal kya karte hai log? What do? So, if you go and observe their daily routine, you'll be very surprised. Or you'll find it sometimes a little bit ridiculous. You know, they take themselves too seriously, you know. They get up early in the morning at 4:30. Then they go and do their, you know, march past. Then they do exercises, you know, very heavy, vigorous exercises. Crawling on the ground with the gun. Then shooting at targets. Then loading the gun again, shooting. Loading the gun, shooting. Then somebody comes and shoots at you. You have to duck. How to duck when somebody attacks you. How to fight back. अरे बाबा कुछ वार है नहीं, कुछ नहीं, क्यों इतना मेहनत क्यों कर रहे हो? यू नो, सो वन मे आस्क, ऑर्डिनरी सिविलियन गोज इन विद नो नॉलेज, वे वंडर, भाई इतना क्यों फाइट मार रहे हो? कुछ वार तो है ही नहीं, क्यों कर रहे हो? द आंसर इज दैट द आर्मी गाय व्हेन वॉर स्ट्राइक्स, एंड यू कैन नेवर से व्हेन वॉर विल स्ट्राइक, इट कैन हैपन एनी टाइम. आई रिमेम्बर 1992 व्हेन द यू नो द राइट्स हैड ब्रोकन आउट इन मुंबई. वन ऑफ माई अंकल्स इज इन द आर्मी. He was in the army, he's retired now. So suddenly he got informed from somewhere that there is tension. Okay, riots are going to break out, immediately report to duty. So when suddenly war breaks out, suddenly riots break out, at that time the army can't say, "Hey, bajar, ruko, ek minute, let me just see how to load my rifle, you know. Let me oil my rifle, let me learn how to load it, aim kaise lena hota hai. I'm just coming, hang on." Immediate. He has to immediately report on duty. There is no scope for waiting. And you have to be perfect also. You can't be that, you know, okay, main gun chala leta hun, yaar. I can shoot. I know how to shoot. You have to shoot the correct target. You need to be able to aim. When you're shooting, you have to shoot the right guy. You can't shoot a civilian. You have to shoot the right guy. Right? So, the the whole focus is train, 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 train. So when the opportunity comes, you are ready. At the same time, you need to know how to also dodge the enemy's bullets. Don't think when you are shooting, enemy is going to sit, bhai, chalo, lagao, bhai, main khada abhi, lagao goli mere pe. He is also going to be shooting. He is also going to be attacking you, right? So the ability of that officer, army officer, to not just attack, but also defend is important. In much the same way, Krishna consciousness, when we are in Krishna consciousness, at the time, you know, like we said, at the time of death, it's not going to be easy for us to, you know, suddenly remember Krishna out of nowhere. It is a struggle. So for us to be able to do that, we need to practice all our lives. Daily. Daily do the practice and also learn how to dodge the bullets of Maya, the illusory energy of Krishna. She is also very strong. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Maam eva hi prapadyante maya metam tarantite. This energy of mind, material energy of mind, maya, is very difficult to overcome. Krishna is giving this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. Not easy. Okay. So knowing how to tackle maya is also very important. Because throughout your life, when you are alive and kicking, when you are alive and kicking, when you are active, when you are in Krishna consciousness, you are coming to the temple every Sunday, you are in the association of devotees, that time, maya will be telling you what? You have already heard the philosophy, you are fairly convinced. Okay. And you, when you want to practice Krishna consciousness, maya will be telling you what? Do it. What you are doing is right. Achha hai. Bhakti mein progress karna chahiye. But not now. Abhi nahi. Tomorrow. Day after tomorrow. Aap kal se karo. Ye aaj hi kya, itna kya urgency hai. Do it tomorrow. And tomorrow she will be telling you, not tomorrow, do it day after tomorrow. Jaldi kya hai, puri jindagi padi hai, kabhi bhi kar sakte ho. So maya for devotees, she forces us to postpone our surrender. For people who are not having any background of, you know, Krishna consciousness, to them she's saying, don't surrender, don't waste your time. Tumhare liye nahi hai, bahut impractical hai, sab nahi ho sakta hai tumse, mat karo. That is how she convinces the people who are not in devotional service. But those who are in devotional service, she can't tell them that don't surrender, because they already surrendered. Thoda bahut to dal diya already, sharanagat ho gaye. To unko kya bolti? Very good, you are surrendering, well done, you are on the right path. But not now, after some time. And this goes on whole lifetime. Dekhte dekhte 15-20 saal nikal jate hai and you are still not surrendered. You are still not fully Krishna conscious. And this is our realization. After so many years, sometimes you feel ki yaar kuch badlav hi nahi aaya, kuch kiya hi nahi maine. I never really surrendered to Krishna. So many years go by because Maya is telling you, take it easy. Aaram se, dheere dheere karo. Slowly, slowly you can increase your Krishna. And that slowly never happens, you know. And then, at the time of death, you know, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is mentioning, at the time of death, in 1 year, Krishna will be whispering. If you have managed to remain Krishna conscious all your life, at the time of death also you kind of remember Krishna. Krishna, please, you know, somehow take me out. You know, you remember Krishna. In 1 year, Krishna will be whispering, well done, beta, ajao, kalo, you are done, come back. And in the other ear, Maya is whispering, you're not ready. Hang on. Some more enjoyment you can do. Then go. Already you have achieved so much in Krishna consciousness. Thoda hi baki hai. Next life kar lena. Abhi jane kya jarurat hai. So he says in 1 year Krishna is whispering. Other year Maya is whispering. Life means whose whisper are you hearing? Jindagi bhar kiska whisper sun rahe ho bhai? You know, whose whisper have you got used to hearing? When Maya tells you, you know, when the devotee tells you, chalo bhai, come to Sunday feast, there is Sunday feast program here, please come, there is Krishna Katha, there is Kirtan, you know, you should come, there is nice prasad. And Maya is telling you, kya tu apna time barbaad karta hai mandir jaake. So both the whispers are there even now. Whose whisper will you hear? Depending on whose whisper you have heard all your life, kiske whisper ko aap sharanagat huye, on that basis, at the end also, you'll have the same challenge. So, there may be so many impediments. Srila Prabhupada says in 8.5 purport, he says, there may be so many impediments, so many distractions will be there in Krishna consciousness. You know, the process of Krishna consciousness, so many distractions, so many obstacles, impediments will be there. But tolerating all these impediments, one must go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yeah. So in 8.7, Krishna says, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. So he says, Srila Prabhupada says, often devotees wonder whether it is necessary to remember Krishna while they do their duty, or whether doing the duty for Krishna is sufficient. Right? We say, do whatever you do for Krishna. Right? So whether just doing my duty for Krishna is sufficient, or I need to remember Krishna also when I am doing my duty. So, Srila Prabhupada says, even though it may be difficult to remember Krishna while we work, he says we should remember Krishna and do our prescribed duty. So, even if it may be difficult, he says it will be far more difficult to remember Krishna at the time of death when our consciousness is disturbed and overwhelmed. Therefore, Krishna wants us to practice now. So, we have to make the effort to remain Krishna conscious, to act in a manner which is pleasing to the Lord, to serve the Vaishnavas, to do our sadhana sincerely to the best of our abilities now. So how to remain Krishna conscious at all times? How to see Krishna's hand in everything? So there are two parts to it. Okay, there are some things that we can do which are under our control. And there are some situations that are thrown to us which are not in our control. That's the second part. The first part is what is in our control. How to remain Krishna conscious at all times with things that are under our control. So the first thing is deep sadhana. We have all heard that chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kalau na astyeva, na astyeva, na astyeva gatir anyatha. Hare naam, Hare naam, Hare naam, eva kevalam. So we have heard this hundreds of times. There is no other way than chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for gati, for, you know, reaching our final destination in the age of Kali. Now, if that is the situation, okay, isn't it so important for us to chant nicely? If we chant, whatever Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, whatever we are chanting in the morning, if we can invest our energy in it, we are anyway investing our time in it, right? Whatever, if you are chanting 4 rounds, you are chanting maybe half an hour, if you are chanting 16 rounds, you are chanting 2 hours. That much time you are anyway investing. You are investing your time. Why not we invest our energy also into it? Why not we put our life into that chanting? Chant as though that is your last day for chanting. Abhi kal mrityu aane wali hai, to aaj main japa kar raha hu. Us tarah se, that intensity, if we can chant, we can put that, you know, intensity into our chanting. It takes us to a completely different level. You know, like the example can be given that, you know, anyone who's undergone a surgery here under general anesthesia, surgery. Okay, only a few Matajis raising the hands. So, you know, general anesthesia means what? They put that anesthesia on your mouth, you know, on your nose, and you go completely unconscious. Correct? You go completely unconscious when that general anesthesia is given. Now, after that general anesthesia is given, and your surgery is over, they finish cutting you up, they finish stitching you up, then after that, what happens? Do you just like immediately wake up? Hey, I'm done. My surgery is done. Doctor says, well done. Congratulations. Surgery is successful. Oh, operation theater ka light band ho jata hai. You come rolled out and you're like, yay, I can go home now. Any surgery which works like this? No. Whenever you do a surgery, typically it takes at least a couple of hours before you become conscious. After you become conscious also, you're not like conscious. You're drowsy conscious. And after a long time, you become really conscious. Isn't that right? generally speaking, anesthesia. That is the effect of anesthesia. In much the same way, the effect of good sadhana is like that. When we do our chanting, if we do it in a very spaced out manner, you know, in a very inattentive manner, duniya pe hum upkar kar rahe hain, us tarah se hum log, you know, we do our sadhana, then the effect doesn't even last while we are chanting. It is like, you know, local anesthesia, very painful. You know? But if you do it in a very sincere manner, we do our sadhana with the best possible intent, sincerely trying, begging for the mercy of the Lord while we are chanting, if we chant in that manner, then that effect lasts for a long time, like anesthesia. Your whole day, you will be Krishna conscious. Your next day and for a couple of days it will go on. You know, that one day of solid chanting that we do, sitting in one place nicely in the association of devotees and really, you know, concentrating on the holy name. Whenever the attention is going, bringing it back and very tightly chanting. We do that one day. You know, I remember His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu had said, sometimes one day of good chanting, the effect lasts for years. For years together, you remember that experience. वो दिन ना हम लोग उधर वी हैड गॉन टू द टेम्पल फॉर मंगल आरती, सबके साथ बैठ के चैंटिंग किया था. व्हाट एन एक्सपीरियंस. यू रिमेंबर इट फॉर इयर्स टुगेदर. बीच में यू मे यू नो डू स्पेस्ड आउट चैंटिंग फॉर लॉन्ग टाइम, बट यू स्टिल रिमेंबर दैट एक्सपीरियंस. व्हाई? बिकॉज इन दैट एक्सपीरियंस यू कनेक्टेड विद कृष्णा. कली काले नाम रूपे कृष्ण अवतार. कृष्णा हैज इनकार्नेटेड इन दैट होली नेम. दैट होली नेम इज नॉन डिफरेंट फ्रॉम कृष्णा. So when we chant the holy names, it is Krishna we are experiencing, sakshat, face to face. We just don't see Him. We don't experience Him because we are not attentive. But we chant with attention, we can experience Him. He is waiting. He is waiting, that Naam Prabhu is waiting, that when will you chant so nicely that you can experience Me. So, very deep sadhana is one good way to remain Krishna conscious on a daily basis. Then, we should also try to schedule time when we will read Shastra. Another good way, you know, hearing and chanting we say, right? So if you are hearing, you know, if you are hearing Krishna Katha, we are reading Srila Prabhupada's books. By reading, what happens? Our conviction increases. Our faith becomes stronger that I am following the right process. Whatever anyone may tell me, I am not going to listen. I am going to follow this path. So our conviction becomes stronger. We are connected with Krishna whenever we read Srimad Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You know, if we read Bhagavatam every day, that Bhagavatam reading will purify us like anything. Because again, Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. By simply chanting, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by doing these basic activities on a daily basis, we can be connected to Krishna. You know, like everyone in this room, I presume, has got a mobile phone. What is the worst nightmare of a mobile phone owner? What is the worst nightmare? Huh? Anybody? If you have charge, mobile phone, charge nikal gaya, point bhi nahi hai, charger bhi nahi hai, kya hoga mera? And even worse nightmare than that, especially for the younger crowd, mobile connection hi nahi hai. Matlab, I cannot browse. I mean, what is this? What's going on? You go to a remote area and there's no internet connection and your phone ka battery is on its last danda. It's like major anxiety, right? That connectivity with battery, the battery has to be fully charged and has to be connected to the internet network. Then everyone is very peaceful, right? In the same way, we are disconnected from Krishna. We need to be constantly connected. We need to be always connected with Krishna, and these are the means to connect with Krishna. Through the holy name, through chanting, reading Shastra, worshipping deities. You know, if you have deities at home, you can worship these deities. When we welcome deities at home and we worship them, that is one way of directly connecting with Krishna. Direct service to the Lord. Not that chanting is not direct service, that is also direct service, but this is, you can feel it more tangibly, you know, you can see, feel the Lord, you can touch Him with your hands, you know, it's a very wonderful experience, very purifying experience. So, this is what we could do on a daily basis. Then, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, He has made our life so easy actually. On a daily basis, He has given us this routine. On a monthly basis, every month there is some festival. Look at our schedule. You know, Vaishnav calendar is the most packed calendar. Okay, I mean, other people may say, I've got a very tight calendar. But our calendar is really tight. Okay, there is no place for anything else. Very tight. Every 15 days, Ekadashi. Every month, some festival. You know, starting like we have Gaur Purnima. After Gaur Purnima, there is Ram Navami. After Ram Navami, there is Narasim Chaturdashi. Then there is Jagannath Rath Yatra. Then Balram Jayanti. Then Krishna Janmashtami. Then Radhashtami. And so on and so forth. Then Sharad Purnima. Then Kartik Yatra. Then December Book Marathon. Then Nityanand Trayodashi. Then Gaur Purnima. The whole year is packed. Every month there is some festival. But these festivals are very important. Because whenever we observe these festivals, they connect us back to Krishna. They make us Krishna conscious. See, one thing to read the scripture, one thing to, you know, chant the holy names, do Sankirtan. But when we do it in the association of devotees, we hear about the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Lord's pastimes, His appearance. On His birthday, the Lord is more, you know, more merciful. He is willing to sprinkle that mercy upon us. So these festivals are very important. Appearance and disappearance days of Vaishnavas. So if not these festivals, even all along the year, it is dotted with, you know, the appearance and disappearance of various prominent Vaishnavas. Not all, only a few. Okay, if we do all, then we will be fasting throughout the year. Right? So we are fasting on the appearance day, disappearance day of the prominent Acharyas within our Sampradaya. So all these are means to remain Krishna conscious. We tend to take these things very mechanically. Ajay, it is appearance day of, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, chalo, let us fast till noon. You know, no, it is an opportunity for us to on that day meditate on the pastimes of that Acharya, meditate on his contribution to Krishna consciousness movement, meditate on what that Acharya did, due to which I am sitting here today in this room. I am sitting in this room here today because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did something 100 years back. That's why I am sitting here today. Because he fought the battle between impersonalism and personalism and smashed all their concepts. That is why bhakti got established more strongly. Meditating on the contribution of the Acharyas whenever their appearance or disappearance comes is another means to remain Krishna conscious. So like that, you know, so constantly reminding ourselves, these are things that we can control. You know, we don't need to be controlled by our circumstances all the time. These are things that we can control. We have a calendar, we know where the devotees are, we know what happens on festivals, we know what happens on appearance and disappearance days. Can we control our lives? Of course we can. We can try to ensure that we are here, hearing katha on those days. If we can't make it to the temple, listen to it on the net. If we can't listen to it on the net, at least take out some time and read about that Acharya. If you can't even do that, anyway, Krishna has given us so many hints of how to remember him. Whichever direction you look, you can see Krishna, He Krishna. You can't see anyone else. Based on what we have heard just now in the Bhagavad Gita, in water, in fire, in air, in ether, in sound, in the ability in man, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, wherever you see vibhuti, wherever you see some extraordinary beauty, you see some extraordinary intelligence, extraordinary power, you see that vibhuti, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam, it is coming from Krishna. So we can remember Krishna by our own effort in so many different ways, if we want to. Question is, do we want to? That is the bigger question. Do I really want to remember Krishna? If I want to, it is impossible not to remember him. Very difficult to forget him. But if we want to forget him, Krishna gives us the intelligence for that also. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, other verse, Sarvasya chaham ridhi sanivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He says, Sarvasya chaham ridhi sanivishto. as the super soul, I am residing in everyone's heart. As Paramatma, I am in everyone's heart. And in that way, Matta, from me, comes Jnanam Apohanam. You know, Smritir Jnanam and Apohanam. So, Smriti means memory, and Apohanam means forgetfulness. So, memory also comes from him only, and forgetfulness also comes from him. So, even our ability to remember Krishna comes from him only, and our ability to forget him also comes from him only. If it is your desire to forget him, mujhe kuch nahi karna, I don't want, then he will put you in forgetfulness. Very good, chalo, you forget me, no problem. But if you want to remember him, if we express our desire to him, then my Lord, I am useless, number one useless. I just want to serve you. I like these devotees, they are nice people. And I like you. I don't have love for you, but I have some attraction for you. My Lord, please engage me in your service. Give me the opportunity to serve you. If you're going to ask this for the Lord, he will give us opportunities. He will open the doors for us. So this much is in our control. What is not in our control? When situations are thrown at you. So, for example, when certain situations are thrown at us, then how to remain Krishna conscious? How to see Krishna's hand in everything that comes to us? So sometimes negative situations are thrown to us. Misery comes to us like a railway train smashing into our house. You know? Sometimes misery comes like that. Whether you want it or not. Kisi ko puchna nahi padta hai. Don't have to make any special effort. Bhai, misery come. Bhai, pay my house a visit. You know, I think I'm too happy. Thoda aake mere ko mehnat karo. Mere liye bhi mehnat karo. No. Misery just comes with no invitation. Just arrives. Miserable situations arrive all the time. So, what do we do when misery hits us? How should we react? When material success becomes too much, you have to know that failure is around the corner. You know, you have to know. Like, for example, I remember in one of my previous jobs, I was doing my best. I was really doing my best. At least I thought I was doing my best. But over the boss ke saath chemistry, illa, not there. No matter how hard I tried, I was not able to get along only with my boss. And finally, I had to leave that job because it was just not working out. And when I left the job, my boss told me, ki tu ye jo career hai, sales ka career, tere liye nahi hai, don't do it. You're useless. You can't do this. Don't do it. Now, when I heard that, I was very depressed because that's the chosen career and your boss tells you ki tu isme bewakoof hai, tu kabhi nahi kar payega, tere se nahi ban padega. You can't do it. Stop it. Leave it. Right? So, it is very depressing. It's like misery coming to you unexpectedly. You know, not expecting to hear this. But somehow, by Krishna's mercy, I continued and I succeeded. We should be able to see that Krishna is testing us. Whenever any difficulty comes, it is like a test. You know, like Ambarish Maharaj, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of Ambarish Maharaj, who was a pure devotee of Krishna. His whole life was, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam speaks long details about how every aspect of his life he made Krishna consciousness. He used his mouth to glorify Krishna. He used his nose to smell the tulsi. He used his ears to hear Krishna katha. He used his hands to, you know, sweep the floor of the temple. He used his legs to go to the temple. Every limb of his body practically he was using for Krishna consciousness. But then he was cursed. You know, Durvasa Muni came to meet him. And Durvasa Muni got angry because of his own impatience. He got angry and he, you know, created a demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj on the spot. Now, what would you do in such a situation? You know, most of us, many of us would feel that, Krishna, itna sab kar raha hu, and you know, what is this now? What is this situation? But no, his thinking, his consciousness was what? Krishna, I am yours. If you want to protect me, you protect me. If you don't want to protect me, don't protect me. If you want to kill me, kill me. If you don't want to kill me, don't kill me. He was in that consciousness, not at all affected by what material situation had come in front of him. He thought, this is Krishna's arrangement. Whatever it is, nothing can happen without the sanction of Krishna. Not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna. So then this demon is coming to me. Well, it must be Krishna's arrangement only. So he had the ability to surrender to Krishna even in a very adverse situation. That is the ability of a devotee. There is a story of the king, you know, king and his minister. The minister, no matter what happened, you know, he would always say, oh, you know, it's all Krishna's arrangement. Achche ke liye hua. Jo bhi hota hai, achche ke liye hota hai. So one day in a hunting expedition, the king, you know, cut his finger. He lost his finger, completely finger got cut off. And, you know, the minister was by his side. He said, jo bhi hota hai, achche ke liye hota hai. It's all for the good only. The king got very incensed, very angry. He said, what is this? I'm the king and you're saying this? How dare you? He threw him in the jail. And the ministers, you know, whoever enemies were there in the court, you know, they also were very happy. They said, achcha, chance mil gaya. So, someone else became the minister. And the king, you know, continued. Then one day the king went again for a hunting expedition, went deep inside the forest. When he went deep inside the forest, he got caught by some of the forest dwellers. And they said, ah, very good. We have got someone for a human sacrifice. And they wanted to do a human sacrifice. They wanted to kill. So they said, this person on this horse looks very powerful. You know, he looks very nice. He'll be a good sacrifice to make. So they pulled him down. They pulled on the minister also. And they said, let's sacrifice this king. And then, when they were about to cut the neck of the king, someone noticed, hey, look, 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 iska finger nahi hai. One finger is missing. So they said, we can't offer him. Incomplete offering. This will not be accepted. We can't offer him. So then they looked at the minister. Haan, ye complete in all respects. Isko offer karo. Right? So then the minister, his head was cut off and the king was like, chal bhai, tum wapas jao. You go back. So king came back and he went and did full dandavat, you know, full dandavat to the minister. He said, my God, you were right. Everything for the best. You know, I lost my finger because of losing my finger. When you said that it's all for the best, I got very upset. But look, because of losing that finger today, my life is saved. You know, so wonderful. Really, what you said is correct. Everything is by Krishna's arrangement. It's very good what you said. But, hey, hello, hang on. What about you? You had to suffer in jail for so many months because of that statement that you made. You know, how is it good for you? It was not good for you. He said, no, sir, it was good for me also. Because if you had not put me in jail, today I would be the one whose head has been cut. Right? So, the ability to see Krishna's hand, even when suffering is coming, is the hallmark of a devotee. Devotees are able to see Krishna's hand in everything. You know, so, there was a story of a boy, you know, a blind boy. This boy was born blind. And when he was born blind, after some time, he got TB. So, it's a very old story, many years back. So, this boy got, he was blind and he got TB also. So, in days of past, TB was, you know, it was like a big problem. So, the mother, as it is, was upset that he is blind. Upar se isko TB because she just threw him out of the house. Because she couldn't afford to, you know, treat him and everything. Then there was a local pujari. That local pujari, he adopted the boy. He said, don't worry, I will take good care of you. And, you know, he started, you know, taking care of his health. And he told the boy that you just listen, you know, whatever Krishna Katha I do, whatever Kirtan I do, you just listen. And because he had TB, his lungs were weak, he could not sing. He said, you just listen. And when your strength returns, you can start singing. So, as a sunte sunte, over the years, slowly his strength returned and he started singing. And he started, you know, reciting the Bhagavad Gita. And he started speaking Bhagavad Gita so beautifully that crowds of people started coming just to hear from him, you know, the Bhagavad Gita. So he became very famous as a blind person who sings very beautifully and who is able to recite the whole Bhagavad Gita because he has heard. Just by hearing, he is able to recite the whole Bhagavad Gita. So like this, he became very famous. And then it is said that this person also made a Braille Bhagavad Gita. You know, Bhagavad Gita for blind people. So all blind people, by just touching, they'll be able to read the Bhagavad Gita. And then, you know, he became very famous and he came on TV. He was interviewed. He came on TV. And then when he came on TV, they asked him the story of his life. And he related the story. And when he told his story, he said, I am so fortunate that I was born blind and I was having TB. Because if that had not happened, my mother would not have thrown me out of the house. I would have never gone to that temple. That I would have never taken shelter of that priest. And I would have never heard Gita. I would have never perfected my life in this manner. Simply because of the arrangement of the Lord, I was able to have such a wonderful life. So the ability of a devotee to be able to see the hand of Krishna, even in an apparently miserable situation, this can help us to remain Krishna conscious. So even when misery hits, understand that it is Krishna's arrangement. Everything is happening by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So if we have that understanding, then we will never be miserable. We will always be Krishna conscious. When something bad happens, oh Krishna, I deserve much worse. I am such a nasty person. I have so many bad habits. I have done so much bad karma in my life. My Lord, you are giving me only a small trailer of what could have really happened, of what I really deserve. I deserve much worse. But my Lord, by your mercy, you are giving me just so little. So this is the characteristic of a devotee, that they are able to absorb the misery and actually be grateful. Instead of being miserable, they are grateful to Krishna. Krishna, you are so kind. You are doing this for my purification and you are giving me so little. You see how even misery can help us to remain Krishna conscious. Similarly, in happiness and in success, there also we should have the ability to see Krishna's hands. We should have the ability to be grateful for what we have received. You see the Pandavas, you know, you see the life of the Pandavas, their entire life was filled with misery. Almost the entire life, hardly there was a small portion where they had anything what somebody, mundane person would call happiness. Most of the time they had misery, all kinds of misery, all varieties, flavors of misery they had in their life. But still, throughout their life, they never blamed Krishna. They never at any point of time said that, oh Krishna, we are your devotees, ye kya hai bhai, matlab, you know, kya log kya kahenge, Krishna ke bhakt ko itna suffering milta hai. No, they were always blissful. Because that misery, as Kunti Maharani says in her prayers, that misery helps us to remember you, oh Krishna. It helps us to surrender more. When we get misery, let miseries come. She is saying ulta, that let more miseries come. So that in those miseries, we get your association. We are able to remember you. We get your personal association. So let miseries come. I don't mind. So they are having that consciousness. But when there was a brief period where they had some material happiness, so to say, during the Indraprastha time, in that brief period, what was Yudhishthira's consciousness? Immediately, all this is happening by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna, you are the cause of all causes. You are the one who has made us, you know, successful. Immediately attributed that to Krishna, and he conducted a Rajasuya Yajna basically to glorify Krishna. His purpose was not that, you know, I am becoming Chakravarti Samrat. No. Purpose was to glorify Krishna. You know. Then you see Kunti also, you know, in everything that they did, she is able to see the hand of Krishna. You know, we as devotees also, while we remember Krishna when we are chanting, we remember Krishna when we come to the temple, when we are in the association of devotees, but when there is something miserable that happens, what happens? Sometimes if it is really difficult and out of control, they say, Krishna, bacha lo bhai. But if it is fairly manageable challenge, what is our consciousness? Main dekh lunga. I can manage this. I've done this before. I can do it. I can manage it. We don't surrender. We say, main karunga. I am the doer. You know, I can manage this. Prakrite kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasha ahankara vimood atma karta aham iti manyate. Bewildered by material energy, we think I am the doer. But really, who is the doer? Material energy is doer. Under sanction of Krishna, we are just, you know, kind of expressing our desire. That's it. So, you know, being able to remember Krishna at all times is really wonderful. Whether misery is coming or whether happiness is coming, if you're able to remember Krishna, forget us, even the supreme creator of this universe, Brahma. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned in second canto, it is mentioned how Brahma, after creation, he has created this wonderful material world that we see around us. He is the creator. But after creating the material world, what is his consciousness? Krishna, you know, I am like the scalpel in the surgeon's hands. Everything you have done, I am only the, you know, nimitta. As in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna tells Arjuna, nimitta matra bhava savyasachi. That everything has been done. It's like a fixed match, done deal. The Kauravas have been vanquished. They will all die. Nobody will be remaining. You are going to win. You will be the rulers, Mahipati. You will be the rulers of this planet. Just be an instrument. I have already done it. Ho gaya hai sab. You just be the instrument and you become glorious. That you did it. Right? So, you know, if we are able to have that consciousness, understanding that whatever great things we may be doing, we may be, you know, doing some service for the Vaishnavas, we may be doing some wonderful job in our offices, we may be cooking a wonderful meal at home, we may be educating our children very brilliantly. You should understand all this vibhuti is Krishna's vibhuti. I am not the doer. Krishna, whatever happiness you are giving me, you are giving me. Whatever misery is coming to me, that is also by your arrangement for my own purification. If we have this consciousness, then whatever situations come in our life, happy or unhappy, we are able to still remember Krishna. We are able to remain Krishna conscious under all circumstances. So in one sense, for all of us who have been so fortunate that we have received the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have received the mercy of Shishi Nitai Gaurachandra, thereby their mercy, you know, we have received Shishi Radha Gopinath, we have received something which is unimaginable. The fortune that we have is unimaginable. It's a wonderful fortune. Srila Prabhupada has given us a lifestyle. You know, he has given us a lifestyle with which we can remain Krishna conscious at all times. He has given us the Mangal Aarti, followed by, you know, Tulsi Puja, Narsingh Aarti, Tulsi Puja, all the, you know, things that go on throughout the day. He has given us a lifestyle by which we can remain Krishna conscious. He has given us his books. He has given us the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam. How many of us knew that there is a scripture called Srimad Bhagavatam before we came to Krishna consciousness? Very few. Even Bhagavad Gita, I personally speaking, Bhagavad Gita was, main Gita pe haath rakhta hun aur jo bhi kahunga, sach ke siva kuch nahi kahunga. We didn't know anything beyond that. Then in 1980 somewhere Mahabharata started, 2-3 verse seekh liye. Right? 2-3 verses that they used to chant in the song. We learned few verses. Beyond that, what did we know? Nothing. No idea. Some stories here, there. That's it. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, he took the effort of translating all the scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion. He's taken the effort to translate them into simple English language. And then his disciples have translated into so many languages across the world. Because of his mercy, we have received a lifestyle. We have received the philosophy, how to and why to lead that lifestyle. And he has given us the wonderful association of devotees. He has given us these temples, which we can see that practical lifestyle, you know, in day-to-day life. We can see that lifestyle in action. He has given us everything. All we need to do is accept. If we are willing to accept this, then being Krishna conscious is not difficult. It is a breeze. It's very easy to be Krishna conscious. It's very easy to remain Krishna conscious. So that at the time of death, at the last moment, antakalecha, at that last moment, we can remember the lotus feet of Shishi Radha Gopinath and remembering them and chanting their holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Chanting their holy names, we can go back to Godhead, leaving this miserable material world, go back into the association of Srila Prabhupada, Shri Radha Gopinath in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Any questions, comments? We have 5 minutes. Yes, Prabhu. Mic is coming.
Hare Krishna. My question is that because of Gandhari's curse, Yadavas started quarreling amongst themselves, and disappointed by that, Krishna went to the forest and he was shot by a hunter, and still he said that you are only the nimitta. I am the doer. So would you like to comment on this?
Yeah, so and everything that we see in this material world, as you said, is only happening by the arrangement of Krishna. So even this incident of, you know, so recently I was in Prabhas Kshetra, we went to that spot where Krishna was shot by the arrow. So we understand that if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that this whole incident was actually orchestrated. Okay, it's just happening by the arrangement of Krishna only. Otherwise, how would a hunter mistake the lotus feet of Krishna to be a deer's face? He thought it's a deer's face and he shot the arrow. And after he shot the arrow, it's not like Krishna, you know, as a tadap tadap ke he left, you know. No. He was very calmly speaking to the hunter, telling him that don't worry, this is by my arrangement. Anyway, the time has come. So this happened after the fratricidal war happened in Prabhas Kshetra, where all the Yadavas fought with each other and killed each other. Because there was no other way that the Yadus could ever be destroyed. As long as Krishna's hand was there, Krishna and Balram were there amongst them, there was no way the Yadus could be killed. So Krishna himself wanted that the Yadu lineage be wound up, and the pastimes be wound up, and he goes back. Because what he had to do had already been done. The Dharma had already been established. The Yudhishthir, the Pandavas were already established as the kings of the planet. So he wanted to wind up and go back. So that is why that war got orchestrated. That is why that arrow was shot. And you know, so you understand, when we see from a point of view of destiny and everything is organized by Krishna's arrangement, how did it happen? Right? There was a block of metal, iron, which this boy Samba, you know, the sons and grandsons of Krishna, in a playful mood, they put, you know, they dress Samba like a woman and they put, you know, this iron piece in his stomach. And with that, they went and, you know, started making fun of the rishis. And those rishis cursed them. They asked the rishis, can you tell, you know, this young woman whether she'll have a son or a daughter? You know, because there was a bump on her stomach. So those rishis said, you fools, whatever is there in her stomach will be the cause of destruction of the entire Yadu dynasty. So when they heard this, they became very fearful. They went and told Ugrasen. Ugrasen said, break this lump of ore into fine powder and throw it into the ocean. You know, so they make that fine powder and they threw it in the ocean. Now after they threw it in the ocean, one small lump remained, one small piece. That lump was swallowed by a fish. Okay? It was swallowed by a fish. And then the remaining iron ore, which was fine powder, because of the waves, it came onto the ocean, it came onto the shore. From that, you know, cane grew out of that iron ore. And then when that war started between the Yadus, they picked up those canes to fight with each other once they ran out of weapons, and those canes became iron rods in their hand. With that, they killed each other. And then that small lump which was remaining which was consumed by a fish. That fish was caught by somebody. Then while after killing that fish, they found that lump. That lump went into that Jara the hunter, his arrowhead, and from that it went and... So how is this happening if not under Daivi Netrena? Unless there is the arrangement of Krishna, all these things just coming together will not happen. So it was purely by the arrangement of Krishna that this happened. And Krishna, after this happened, also blessed the hunter, assured him, you will go back to Godhead, don't be worried. You will, you know, this is your last life and you will go back to Godhead. Then after that he went and he spoke and then he finally left, much later in a very transcendental manner. That is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the exit of Krishna from the material world, how he disappeared. So we have to understand that these are the pastimes of the Lord. You know, like he shows pastimes of showing dependence on Mother Yashoda and, Nanda Maharaj. In the same way, he shows that, okay, I am using this hunter as a nimitta to disappear from the material world. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.